The contents of this interview, or from Awake and Empowered Expo LLC from Ethan Fox and Flower of Life Center for Human Evolution, is for informational purposes only and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints held by these organizations or individuals. Always consult with your doctor or health professional before making any changes to your diet, lifestyle, or prescription drug use. Please understand that you assume all responsibility and risk for the use or misuse of this information.
Welcome to Awake and Empowered Radio. This is Ethan Fox. And I'm here with Jeffrey Jackson. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Australian researcher and world-renowned radio show host, Max Egan. Max has become a voice of reason for those of us who are pioneers in this time of global awakening of consciousness. You can find out more about Max and his work at thecrowhouse.com. And to listen to our other shows, go to youtube.com and search AAEEXPO. Hi, Max. Welcome to our show. We're thrilled to have you with us, and you're one of the most powerful voices and beacons of hope within the current world situation. And a lot of people listen to you because you're able to articulate the things that they are thinking and feeling. For our listeners who may not know you that well, can you tell us a little about your life and what life experiences guided you to become such a prominent figure in the alternative media?
Well, it all really happened by mistake, to be quite honest, Ethan. It just was a natural chain of events that just led me to be doing what I'm doing now. And thank you for asking me onto the show as well to share all this with you. But I grew up basically sort of living on the outside of society most of my life. I was a musician for most of my life, so I got to view the world from a sort of a different perspective to many people. I never really got caught into the work ethic, the business mentality, that left brain mechanical system that they impose on us. It just never really became part of my life. And I began to view the world very differently to most people. And I kind of saw the way this control mechanism was being put in place. I think a lot of people did. That's why there's so many people now that are speaking about it. That's why there's been so many people speaking about it for so many years, because a lot of people can see it. They say that about 7% of mankind simply can't be programmed, can't be brainwashed. You know, you just don't fit into the system. You can see it and you will never comply with it. And I think I'm just part of that 7%. And how I got to be doing what I'm doing now was really a mistake. I mean, it just all kind of fell into my lap. I never planned on it. I certainly never planned on being a radio host. I never planned on making films or anything like that. If you looked at my life 10 years ago and asked me where I would be now, this is absolutely not the place that I thought I would be, because I didn't really feel, you know, a calling to do this. It wasn't really until 9/11 happened, I think, like so many other people, that I felt a calling to really go public with all my research and to really start, you know, being a voice to try to wake people up. I think there's a lot of people out there that are bringing fear of the situation that we face. And there is indeed a lot to be concerned about when you look at the global situation. But I think there's the difference. It's the difference between fear and concern. Because when you're in fear, you go into hiding, you go into fight or flight mode. And when you're concerned, you tend to act positively to address your concerns. And that's what I think people should do. They need to calm down a little bit when looking at this and be concerned about the situation, but also to see what the remedy is. And I believe the remedy is for people to rediscover themselves, to rediscover the power that they've got, because ultimately, all of the problems that we face on the planet are all being carried out by people. There's just this misconception of who's powerful and who isn't. You know, we've all been trained to give our power away, but really there's nobody any more powerful than anybody else. Our governments are simply public trustees that we employ, and we need to change our perspective a little bit. I think if we did that, started to respect each other, started to realize what the social hierarchy actually is and where government fits into the food chain, I think we could change things very quickly. So that's been the message.
You mentioned the 7% that can't be programmed. Do you have an idea of why that is and what causes that 7% to be unique?
No, I don't. I don't. I think probably the same thing that causes 1% to 3% of the population to be born with psychopathic tendencies. You know, it's just the way the code works. I think for reality to work at all, there's got to be some sort of a balance, and I think that's just the way it works.
And I'm of the belief that there has to be, in order for there to be positive change in the world, there has to be a simultaneous increase in consciousness. Do you have any thoughts on consciousness as a foundation for all the progress?
Look, I think consciousness is the foundation for everything. I mean, consciousness is the foundation for reality itself. If you look at what matter is, I've done a lot of short shows and a lot of discussions on the nature of matter, how matter is simply, frequencies of light and sound, and everything is created by consciousness, really. If you look at your consciousness being not local to your body, you download it into that biological computer that you inhabit for this experience. It's not local to your body. Consciousness is the energy itself that makes up everything. So I think it all has balance. And, a lot of the negative stuff that's happening, in a way, it's provided us with the greatest opportunity we've ever had for freedom, because the control grid is now laid bare. The more negative people make it, the more people wake up. Like I said, I didn't start speaking out publicly until 9/11 happened. If it wasn't for that event, I wouldn't be here talking to you now. I've put out a lot of radio shows that I hope have been positive and I hope have helped people rediscover themselves. That's been the purpose of everything that I've done. And I don't get it right all the time, but the overall purpose and the general purpose and the general message that I'm attempting to give people on everything that I do is to rediscover yourself, because there are no leaders in this. It's all about you. It's all about the state that you are in. It's about the conscious state you're in. It's about the energy that you are in your heart space. The key to your own salvation is in your heart. It's about changing your perspective of who and what you are and how you interact with reality around you and the people around you. That's been the overall message. So all of this negative stuff that's happening, it's created this conscious wave to sweep across the planet, when now we've got so many people talking about government corruption. And it's got to the point where, we're getting a virtual police state built around us as a result of people waking up, because these people are running scared. So they complement each other. The more we wake up, the more totalitarian they make it. The more totalitarian they make it, the more we wake up. So they're both complementing each other. We've got to really see what's going on here. It's this energetic exchange that's going on between the two, the good forces and the dark forces, or the positive and the negative, or the light and the dark, whatever you want to call it. But they're both complementing each other, and they're causing each other to grow. And that's why people have to be careful of the way they approach this situation. I believe you've got to approach it with a balanced approach. You've got to view all of this negative stuff as opportunity. And what it is, I believe, is an opportunity for us to learn to respect ourselves and respect those around us. Because when we do, all the barriers in our community break down, and the whole control system breaks down with it. Because the whole control system is maintained completely and totally by the divided state of our societies. Now, if we could learn to put down all of our stuff that we have with each other and just respect each other, we'd change the world in 3 seconds. We'd change it in one day. It's really that simple. And that's what I'm trying to show people. There's a lot of stuff in this movement. There's a lot of people, a lot of radio hosts, a lot of filmmakers that are in fear, and they're pointing the finger and they're screaming hate and all of this stuff against the Illuminati, in inverted commas, when really I think that's the wrong way to approach it, because that just makes the system stronger. What you've got to do is realize the system's there and realize what its actual control mechanism is, because it's a spiritual control mechanism. It's a psychic control mechanism. It's a fictional reality that they've superimposed over people's minds, and it's based on division. So there's the key right there. The key is to respect each other and to stop being so divided, to stop seeing us, each of us as being separate from each other. Because like we are, we're all unique, but we're all one. We're all in this together. And this whole system is a product of our imagination. This is what we imagine reality to be, and this is what we've got. If we can imagine something different, we can create that. But it's got to be based on respect. So, yeah, there is balance to it all, and there is a purpose for evil to be in the world. And, of course, if you've got 3% of the population that are psychopaths, well, of course, you'd have to have a balance of people that simply can't be programmed by these psychopaths. But then you've got that huge mass in the middle, which is what actually, sways things. So, it's an interesting playoff we've got going on here, but I think it's a fantastic time to be alive. I think it's a very, very special time in human history, and I'm glad to be out here on the front line with so many others.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And, on this end, we just sort of started in the same direction, really, in the past year, couple of years. And Actually, we were just talking earlier today about the education system and how the children today in the United, I don't know what it's like in where you live, but here in the United States, it seems like the school system is becoming more like a prison system, and where there are so many rigid control mechanisms in place to teach the kids to really assimilate into society and to follow the rules and so on. And so we were just we've been playing around with the idea of designing an alternative education system, actually. And I know this is something that you talk a lot about. And for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with your views on the subject, can you say a little about what you think about the education system, what it's like in your area, and how you envision a solution for that?
Well, the education system is an indoctrination system, ultimately. That's all it is. It doesn't educate people at all. I mean, it gives them certain skills, you know, reading and writing. It teaches them the history that they want people to know, and it teaches them how to function in the business world, how to function in this society. You can, of course, go off on tangents. You can learn other things. There are actually some teachers. I mean, I'm not saying all teachers are bad. There are a lot of teachers who do teach their students good things and who seriously do want to help these kids. But unfortunately, in the public system, they have very controlled curriculums, and there's certain things they have to teach these kids. And it's all about programming the left brain. I mean, education really is life. It shouldn't be learning how to be a functional cog in the big machine. But that's what it is. Frank Zappa actually said it wonderful. He made a wonderful statement on education back in 1976, I think, when he said that education trains people to be ignorant with style and trains people to grow up to be functional victims, usable victims for a military-industrial complex that needs manpower. It keeps you in a position where you are just smart enough to operate the machinery and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to swallow what they feed you. And that's where they want you. But if you step outside of that, then all these things are going to go wrong in your life. So it's best to just keep in that little mediocre spectrum, and that's where they want you. And that is exactly what the education system is designed to do, the modern education system, especially in America. I mean, America has taken this to almost an art form. Of how to keep people in that little area, that one area that they don't think outside of the box. Because if they do, then things may not be cool for them in their life. You know, people will judge them harshly. They'll get ridiculed by their neighbors. They won't be able to be one of the guys, in inverted commas. If, you know, nobody wants to hang out with somebody who's smarter than they are. So they don't want you to know too much. And you shouldn't really want to know too much, because if you do, you'll get worried. That's what the education system's designed to do. And again, there are a lot of good teachers in there, but they're forced to operate within these parameters. And so no matter how much they try to educate these kids and to get them thinking clearly, even if they do a little bit, well, they eventually go out into society. They're forced into a position where they've got to pay to be alive. They've got to be, you know, financially successful. So they've got to go out and start businesses whereby they're exploiting other people and profiting from people around them. And there's this whole horrible commercial thing goes on. And the whole commercial system is really the glue that holds it all together. And that's what people are trained to function in. People are trained through the education system basically to, no matter what they are allowed to do, no matter how creative they are allowed to believe they can be, they are still trained to believe that we need the system to stay the way it is. We need the status quo to remain consistent, and we shouldn't rock the boat, and we should respect authority. That's the basic rule of education.
Max, I'd like you to go over the idea of sui generis. I've heard you speak to that before in interviews, and you encapsulate it so beautifully.
Well, sui generis is your uniqueness. Sui generis is basically saying that you are a unique expression of creation. That's what you are. You stand before any court in the capacity of sui generis. Therefore, you have no peers, so you cannot be subject to the laws of your peers. You cannot be judged by your peers. You have no peers. You are unique. And you mean, you could even ask the court, can you identify me by my fingerprints and by my DNA? And, of course, they will answer yes, in which case, they, according to their own testimony, you are unique. Therefore, how do you have any peers? You cannot be judged by the laws of your peers. You are sui generis, the same as everybody and everything else. You're a unique aspect of creation. I mean, you can try this in the legal system. Some people have had success with it, but we're seeing more and more people in these free man movements and more people they're kind of setting examples, and there's other people that are being made examples of. The system is so corrupt that it doesn't matter. Once you get in their court, they just do what they want. But if people can understand the concept of sui generis and they can encapsulate that into their lives and realize their own uniqueness, then it will change the way they interact with reality. It'll change the way they interact with the legal system. And when you're speaking with somebody else, you know, we go up against these people all the time. We'll attack a police officer. We'll attack a judge. We'll attack a lawyer. You know, when we go into the court, we verbally attack these people. We try to stand our ground and show them that they don't have jurisdiction over us and you're my servant and blah, 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 blah. You've got to do this. You know, we're scared of their office and we approach them through their office, rather than simply talking to the man or the woman that inhabits that office and seeing them as being sui generis as well. I can't attack you and verbally abuse you because I have no jurisdiction over you. You are completely unique. I'm just pointing out the fact that you don't have any over me as well because I'm also completely unique. And if you are claiming that I am part of your legal system, well, then within your legal system is a term called sui generis, which explains to you my uniqueness in your own legal terms, should you not be able to understand what I'm telling you. And if you want to go to court, hey, we can do it, but you know, this is the path that I'll be taking because I know who and what I am. You find that all the problems that we face are spiritual problems. You know, and that's why you need to be respectful when you approach these people. You might be a complete psychopath, but it's a person. It's a man. It's a woman. It's flesh. It's living flesh and blood. It is completely unique to itself, the same as you. And if you are respectful in your approach to these people and you're logical and you're polite, they have nowhere to go because the system will always attempt to provoke you into confrontation. Because as soon as you are in a state of confrontation, you go into that fight or flight mode, the adrenaline starts pumping, you step out of line and you give them jurisdiction, you just mess up every time. You know, I had someone who went into an appointment with a government office, for example, a couple of weeks ago. He went into an appointment, he'd missed an appointment, and he'd gone into this office at about 2 weeks later, and he'd walked up to the counter, it was at quarter past four in the afternoon, and he said to them, "I'm here to sort out this matter of an appointment that I missed a couple of weeks ago." And the woman at the counter verbally attacked him and said, "You came in here at quarter past four in the afternoon to sort out a missing appointment when we close at 4:30. You know, and she was really angry with him when she addressed him this way. And he just looked at her and smiled and he said, "Thank you for that information." And she completely folded. He was so polite. He just said, "Well, thank you for the information that you close at 4:30. And she folded. She completely lost all of her confidence in herself. She embarrassed herself. She went red in front of the entire office of people. She ended up coming over and apologizing and pandering to him and sorting everything out that she could for him. He completely threw her off guard because he did not move into confrontational mode. You know what I mean? If you can be respectful to people, and if you truly respect yourself, you will be, then you can change things. And it's hard to do. I mean, it is hard to do. People will push you, especially in this movement. People will bait you. They will post threads about you. They'll do everything they can to get you into confrontation, and you'll go into it because you're human and it happens. We all do it. But if we can just try to think about this sort of stuff when we do, then it can make a difference. It can really make a difference if we move out of confrontational mode. And think about it. Every time someone does push you into confrontation and you respond, there's a lesson for you. What was that? What was that that triggered that in you, that caused that response from you? What was it about yourself that made that happen? I've had some great experiences over the last year where I've been pulled into confrontation and I found out all sorts of stuff about myself, and now I'm so much stronger for it. These are the little opportunities we're having in our lives to make ourselves stronger. Now can we apply that to our society? Can we apply it to our government? Can we apply it to this system? Can we apply it to the people around us? That's the question, you know. That's what all this is. It's a huge time of learning for humanity, I think, this time. I probably want to ride off topic there, but I think it's a great time in history, and it's an honor to be part of it, really. I think a lot of us have come here to do this and to help with this, and it's great to be part of it.
we're working on so many different fronts also, and it is very exciting to be a part of making this happen. Now, you mentioned about the free man movement. I've been noticing a lot of sovereignty movements seem to be popping up all over the world. Like, I think out your way, there's a gentleman by the name of Jagamara. I don't know if you heard of him. But there's also David Wynn Miller with Parse Syntax. Have you heard of any of these guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and Divine Providence, OPPT, Cate of Gaia, One Heaven, and so many others. Seems like there are dozens of cracks in the dam, and they're trying to plug them all up as they come up, but it seems to me it's just a matter of time before the dam breaks open. And I guess my question is do you you obviously are familiar with these different movements. What are your thoughts on them, on the subject in general, and any of these individuals? And do you know of anything or anyone else who is actually making substantial progress in this particular area?
Look, it's hard to say. You know, like I've seen people use all of these approaches in what they've done, and I've seen some people have a degree of success, and I've seen some people get themselves into trouble. Now, very often people go in again, they go in to attack the system. They get armed with a little bit of data, and they go in there, and they want to take the judge on, they want to take the system on, they think, oh, I know what I'm doing, and they go in attack mode. And it's not respectful, it's not spiritual, it doesn't work if you do that, because you're going into that confrontation. I think that all of the people that you mentioned have been beneficial in as much as they're all helping expose the fiction. But I think it's going to go further than that. It's going to go to a point where people realize that it's all fiction. It's all paper-based reality. It doesn't matter what anybody wrote on a piece of paper. It doesn't matter about any decree the Pope made. It doesn't matter about anything anybody did anywhere. What matters is that you rediscover yourself, because this is a spiritual problem. The whole thing is a spiritual problem. The fact that we give our power away in the first place because somebody wrote something down on a piece of paper. What is that? What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. You know, the whole written language, the concept of spelling, it's a spell. They're spelling you. They're training you to believe this is real. It's a fictional-based reality. Any decree the Pope made and wrote down and sealed on vellum or whatever, it makes no difference to me. It's nothing to do with me, regardless of whether I have a birth certificate that someone gave me or whatever. It's all, these are all fiction. This is all stuff that we made up. It's not real. None of it's real. So there's a higher harmonic to the whole thing, and the highest harmonic, I believe, is sui generis. And that's even within their legal system. So you can say, okay, I'm sui generis, and because I'm sui generis, I choose to step above the whole thing, you know. But I think, I mean, they're all doing a good job. All these people have done a good job in their own way. And I think it's great that this is happening, that people are putting this information out there and they're working to expose the fiction. Because whatever it is that causes that shift in the mind of that mass of people who aren't part of the 3% at the bottom and the 7% of the other side, you know, the 3% of psychopaths and the 7% of those who can't be programmed, anything that wakes up these people in the middle, I think, is a good thing. Anybody who's speaking out against this system in any way that wakes up someone to the fact that they're living in a world of fiction is a good thing. And then it's up to that individual to then go through their own awakening process and find out what their own truth is. But ultimately, I think that what everybody will find is that ultimately their own truth is themselves. That's the only thing you're ever really going to know for sure is yourself. And that's what you're here to know. That's what you're here to do, you know. So, you know, it's good, but, you know, we've got to step above it all. It's great that people are exposing the fiction, but I think people have to be careful of getting armed with a little bit of data and then going off with their guns cocked and their, you know, fists clenched and taking the system on, because that will only lead down a bad direction, I believe.
Hey, Max, I have a question for you. How does humanity unite or stand up against a government that's destroying the planet and the environment around us, yet that is grandstanding as its savior behind a phony green and sustainable movement?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. You know, by doing what we're doing, you know, by being aware of it, that's half the problem. See, yes. I think that all of this comes down to respect. All the problems that we face come down to respect. You know, if we had respectful communities, we wouldn't have to have coal seam, stand up against coal seam gas mining, for example, or have rallies and things, because the whole community would respect each other to simply say, no, I'm not going to do this. And the people who are working in the gas fields, I mean, they wouldn't be in a state of scarcity. you know, because that's what it is. I mean, these guys that are working the gas fields, it's good money. You go out there and make good money. And in this world where you're kept in a state of scarcity and you've been programmed through this education system to believe it's all about stuff, it's all about security, got to have the nuclear family, got to have the house, the block, the 2.5 kids, the one point, you know, this and that, and the picket fence and the two cars and the TV and all this stuff. Got to do this so you can fit in, so you can go down and have a beer with the local billiard club and do all this sort of stuff. Otherwise, you know, who are you? You're a lesser person, you know. So people are trained to think this way. And they're kept in a world where it's extremely difficult to get by. The bills are rising and rising and rising. And suddenly you can get a job on this gas field. And you looked at all the specs. They've told you, hey, this company, this is a green company. This is helping save the world. You know, where this is clean energy, you know. They're trained to think this way. So it's very difficult to hate them. You know, but if they weren't kept in a state of scarcity, if we had respectful societies, none of these people would be in scarcity to begin with, and they'd see the sense of this. You know, if we had respectful societies, we'd have an education system that actually educated people into reality and taught them who and what they are and helped them express the art of their lives and be creative and have independent thought to see what we can come up with as a species, because we're incredibly creative. We could do anything, but the whole system is structured to create exactly what it is. So the way out, I believe, is to see what the control mechanism is, which is division. That's the main mechanism of control, that we all have this stuff with each other. And even people in the research community that may be investigating all the Freeman stuff, each one will find their own little niche. Okay, it's the birth certificate, or okay, it's the trust law, or okay, it's the Vatican system, or okay, it's this or it's that. Now they start arguing with each other. They don't realize it's all part of the same thing. You just found another piece of the puzzle. There isn't one person who's right and one person who's got the whole thing. Let's put it all together and stop arguing. Let's just respect each other for being who and what we are and congratulate each other for finding a new piece of the puzzle, because we're all finding our way through it and there are no leaders. What we need to do is to find the silver bullet, find the magical key that's going to unlock the hearts of the people. And I believe it's respect. It's understanding what this system is. It's all fiction. The whole lot of it is fiction. And respect is the way we can do everything. It's the way we can change the world. You know, once people respect those around them, you know, I finish every show with Imla Kesh, I'm another yourself. Once you can treat people that way, then the world changes. It's really that simple, you know. And we've got the strength of numbers. If we can unite our communities in empowered ways where there is no leader, where everybody's leading themselves, and we're realizing what this is, if we can unite our communities in some way, anyway, anything you can think of to break down the barriers with your neighbors. You know, if you're baking bread, bake an extra loaf and give it to the guy next door. Grow some extra vegetables, give it to him. Start a gardening cooperative. If you're a lady, start a sewing group. Start a record swap. Start a car boot sale. Start anything you can think of that's going to get you communicating with the people around you, and then treat them with respect and help them. Do things for them. You know, let's all just support each other. Let's break down all these barriers. Realize that everybody's in a state of scarcity. People that are running this system are our employees. They only get away with what they're doing because they've trained us to be too caught up in what we own rather than who we are. You know, it's really simple. If people could just step back and take off the rose-colored glasses and look at reality a little bit. But it's got to come down to respect, brother. I really think that's the key to the whole thing. And everyone says, but how can we do this? Well, you do it yourself. You do it by starting to respect yourself and respecting people around you, and you lead by example in what you do. Start small. You're a small person. You've only got your little space, your little group of people that you know, but you can start respecting them. You can start dropping the barriers that you have with them. There's people that you've got stuff with. Put it down. Go and see them. Say, hey, what's all that stuff we had? Let's sort this shit out. Here's a gift. Come and have a beer. Come and have a this or have a that. Let's go out. Let's do something. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, we're all trained to have all this stuff with each other. So to me, it's simple. And all the people around me in my life, this is the way we live, and it just works for us. Everything just works for us. I think it would work for everybody.
I think it's important, too. You mentioned this in a previous interview. I thought it was, again, just beautiful that the people around you, the brothers and sisters that are standing next to you and your family, we have not been ever given a level playing field, and that goes with our politics, our government, even the food, the chemicals around us. So we have to forgive those people, and we have to forgive and get past our differences. Like you said, I think that was a great thing you've mentioned before.
Well, absolutely. Like I said, with the guys that are doing the gas wells and stuff, you know, they're trained to think this way. They're not playing on an even playing field. They don't know what reality is. They were trained to be this way. They went through the education system. They probably excelled at it. You know, they got totally locked into their left brain, and that's what they think reality is now. And by going and attacking these people, you're not going to solve anything. You're just going to make them attack you back. They're going to want to defend themselves. They're going to get haughty. They've got peer group pressure going on, all this sort of stuff. So it's an immediate confrontation, you know, and nobody was ever given an even playing field in this whole society. It doesn't matter. Everybody's forced to pay to be alive. We're born into families that are pre-programmed, and they train us and they program us to do this and to do that. And then we go to school, we get programmed through the education system, we get spat out the other end, and we start going, what the hell is this? You know, sometimes we do. Sometimes we just go, okay, this is what it is, and we go for it and we do it, and that's what we've got. And we get to the end of our life and we go, well, what was that? I've got all this stuff now, but I never really found myself. And that's what happens to most people. It's very unfortunate, but that's what happens. They get distracted from themselves. Some of us don't do that, you know. So, yeah, nobody ever had an even playing field. And admittedly, there are psychopaths at the top that have done bad things and probably deserve to have bad things done to them. But that's not for me to say. That's not what I do. That's not who I am. I'm sure things like that will sort themselves out. But the psychopaths that are in control, that have created this system, they only get away with it because we give our power away. Now you've got a choice as to whether to give that power away or whether to refuse to comply with anything that interferes with your moral compass. Because really that's what it's about. You know, life is about what you do with the time here. And really, there should be nothing higher than what your moral compass says the limits are. And if you don't have a moral compass, well, perhaps you're a psychopath. You know, a lot of people don't have a moral compass. I do. And I will not comply with any legislation which interferes with my moral compass. And I'm quite prepared to debate that point with anybody who believes they have the authority over me to instruct me to operate beyond my moral compass. I won't do it, you know. And, you know, if people are going to force me to, well, we get into the whole slavery system conversation, you know, about slave trading and about why you should be making demands of me if you're a public servant. We can go through the whole thing, sui generis, you know, the whole thing. It doesn't matter. We'll go that way if you want. But ultimately, if you have the moral high ground and you are respectful in what you do and everything you do, in the way you interact with people, even if you get angry sometimes. I mean, I do. I get angry and I lash out. And once I've done it, I'm okay. I've just let that fly and I'm a Scorpio. Hey, I gave you a sting. That's what I do if you push me. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. I'm trying to get a lid on that one, but it's, you know, it's just a part of me. That's the way I am. But once I've done that, I'm fine. I don't hold a grudge. I don't know anybody that I actually have a problem with, anybody that I've lashed out at, anybody that I've had an argument with. I don't have a problem with any of them. I really don't, because I just don't hold grudges. I think it's a waste of time. But I have no problem embracing my emotions at the same time. And if I get angry, I'll express that anger. If I wasn't angry, I wouldn't do the radio shows. I wouldn't be here doing this interview if I wasn't angry. If I wasn't angry at the psychopaths and what they've done to this planet and what they're doing to my brothers and sisters, I certainly wouldn't do what I do. It's just how you channel all that, I think, you know, what you channel it into.
It was so you're a Scorpio. I don't know if you know that I've been an astrologer, numerologist for 20 years. And one thing that I've been seeing is that in the next we're sort of in this window of time. I don't know how much you follow astrology, but we're in this window of time until 2016 where both sides are sort of butting heads, where the establishment is pushing against the people and the people are pushing back. But in the 2020s through mid-2040, really, the freedom is going to be given back to the people. And I foresee that's the period of time where all of these things that are sort of coming up beneath the surface now are going to come out to the surface, and free energy technologies and things like that, and just more freedoms for the people, which were taken away in this recent decade. I'm curious, do you see the future in a similar way, or do you have a different opinion on that?
Well, I don't follow astrology. I know people that do, but I don't. I do see the future in that way because I believe that's what this time is and that's what we're going to do. The danger, I would say, of looking at it from an astrological perspective is that even saying something like that to many of the people out there who are in that middle section of people who are easily programmed has sometimes the effect of lulling them into a sense of complacency. Okay, the stars say it's all going to change. I don't really have to do anything because it's all going to change. We're all going to be free in that time. But I would point out to them that, yes, this is very, very likely to happen as long as you participate in creating that freedom in your own little reality, because it's up to you to participate. I find that a lot of people who make predictions, for want of a better term, this is the effect it has on people. Unfortunately, whether it's true or not, they may be very accurate predictions and the stars may be completely right. But unfortunately, we have people that are very easily programmed in our world. And even with what I do on the radio shows, sometimes when I say to people, look, things are getting positive, I present it to them in such a calm manner, I worry that I'm lulling them into a sense of complacency because people say, oh, Max, your voice is so calm. I feel so reassured and relaxed after the program. And I think, well, that's great. I don't really want you to feel reassured and relaxed. I want you to feel empowered to act. That's why I've presented the information to you in such a calm and rational way, but it's not to lull you into a sense of complacency because people are very, very easily programmed, and that's what I find. A lot of people, you know, they're fluorided and they're kind of eating this dud food and they're sort of relaxing in front of their TV and they go, oh, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, Max is going to go out there and bat for us. Ethan's going to go out there and bat for us. It's all good. They know the world's changing. It's all going to be good in 2020. And I'll just sit here and I'll just watch it all turn to heaven around me, you know. And that's unfortunately what we get in our society. So I think it's very, very important to focus on the empowerment of the individual and the necessity of people applying themselves to the reality that they live in. There's a popular misconception that if you change your inner world, you will change the outer world. And it's a misconception in as much as people believe that all they have to do is think good thoughts and the outer world is going to change. And what I point out to them is it's about changing your inner energetic state, changing your heart space, but then you have to apply it to the world around you. You know, you remember this is a world created of our imagination. So in order for us to imagine a better world, we have to do that, but then we have to apply ourselves to it. I mean, everything is a product of imagination. This desk that I'm sitting at, someone imagined this and they drew the plans and they built the desk, but they had to build it, didn't they? They had to apply themselves to that reality for this reality to come into being, for this desk to be here. And it's the same with the reality we wish to build. The reality that is shown there in the stars is an opportunity for us to participate in the reality that we now exist in. This is a physical world, and it takes our participation. That's why we are here.
A lot of what you're saying is the core message behind your Full Circle project, right, and the film that you're making in Peru?
Exactly, exactly. And what I want to do with that is try to create some sort of a template where we can all participate in this.
So can you fill us in a little bit more about what this project is about and what the film is going to be about and what your overall vision is for that?
Well, it's a big one. I mean, I don't really plan these things. I kind of get guided by spirit, and I just know that I have to go and make the film. I've spent virtually everything I've got and gone into the red just to go there and do it. It's interesting. Then I give the film away. But that's the way it goes. If spirit's just calling me to do it. It's going to be a film about the earth. I'm doing it in Peru because there's a certain mystique with Peru. People can identify with Peru. I want to show what's going on with the Amazon. I want to show the need to preserve the Amazon, show the earth as it really is, and use the film to launch the Full Circle Project. And the Full Circle Project, I'm getting input from people all around the world, actually, that want to be involved in this. What I want to do is create a mechanism, create a template that we can use, because I'm always saying we've got to empower our communities, and people are going, well, that's great. How do we do that? And like I said, I was saying all those little things you can do. Well, let's create a template whereby you can have workshops and you can have initiatives that are started in your community that are designed to empower the individuals within your community and push the envelope with the controlling hand, push the envelope with the authorities in a polite and morally you know, morally viable way, so that we've always got the moral high ground in everything that we do, and we're realizing that these people are public trustees, just educating the people into thinking about things differently and constructing it in such a way that there are no leaders in this movement. It's just a template that everybody can use, every individual can use. Hopefully we can get enough funding, or I can get enough funding to be able to set up some sort of a central database in each community, which will be tailored for that particular community. So if you're in a community and you have an idea that, you know the way these people around you think and what may unite them, let's have a look at that idea. Let's see if we can implement it in your community. What do you need to get it started? We can put out collect a fund, and we can do this. I also want to start a fund to start buying huge sections of the Amazon rainforest, because there's a lot of Save the Forest campaigns out there, but they're just mainly spending the money they collect on advertising campaigns and videos and all this stuff. They're not actually doing anything to save the forest. What I want to do is go in and buy these huge sections of Amazon rainforest that are for sale right now. We can go in there and we can just get local Shipibo or local tribal people, village people to patrol the borders for us, to keep poachers out for, it won't cost us much to do that. And we can protect these areas. We can put them in a trust. I want to start a foundation called the In Lakesh Foundation, and I want to be able to have people donate into this foundation, and we use the money to buy huge sections of rainforest and put it in trust so it can never be touched, and to fund community projects all around the world. See, there's a lot of people saying, well, you got to focus on one thing. We've got to focus on saving the Amazon. That's all very well to focus on saving the Amazon, but if I just focus on the Amazon, then I'm going to allow the world around me to implode, which means I'm going to eventually lose the Amazon anyway. So I need to see the Amazon and the loss of the Amazon as a symptom of the larger problem, which is a disempowerment of mankind right across the planet. It isn't unique to one country. It's right around the world. We have to find a way of empowering the individual, helping the individual around the world to remember who and what they are and to learn to respect each other again. Take off the rose-colored glasses and see the system for what it is. And if you don't believe that it's controlling you, well, here's a little program designed to empower your community and push the envelope a little bit with these guys, these council members, these government. And if they won't let you do this, which is here to empower your community, then ask yourself why. And there you go. There's your slavery system exposed right there. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? We've got to do something. There's been a lot of movements, but they all get co-opted because they all have leaders. What I believe we need is a template that empowers the individuals within each community to be empowered and to know the power of themselves and to know how to use that power.
I'm curious, what does it cost to buy a section of Amazon?
Well, it varies. There was one section that was there, 13,500 hectares for about $50,000, $55,000. There's other sections that are $500,000. There's large sections that are for sale that are marked for conservation that we can get. But if we don't get them, then eventually they won't be used for conservation. And a lot of people say, well, why are you only buying areas that are marked for conservation? Why can't you buy other areas as well? It's how the land rules work in Peru. Peru's got a very complicated land system. And if you live in Peru, if you're born in Peru, you can actually go to a section of land anywhere and you can stake a claim and say to the government, I want this land. And they will measure out an area for you, and you say, I want this land. I'm going to get timber from it, or I'm going to plant corn, or I'm going to put in cattle, or I'm going to do whatever. This is what I'm going to do with the land. You've got to give them a plan of what you intend to do with it. And if they will give you the land, and if you make that work over 5 years, then that's it. You can have that land. That's the way it works in Peru. You get free land just for being born there. So there's huge sections of land that are allocated for people to have, because you've got a growing population. They can't just mark all the land for conservation because you've got population who needs somewhere to live. So that's kind of the way it works in Peru. It's very different to what we have in the West. But there's sections that are marked for conservation, and right next to them you've got the Chinese buying up huge sections, and they're clear felling it and they're planting cacao. And you're finding that a lot of poachers are going in and just taking timber out of these areas of conservation anyway. They're going to go. They're going to be depleted. So they need to be put into some sort of a trust. once we've done this, I think once we've got large sections, we can start liaising with the governments in places like Peru, and we can help them understand that the Amazon is actually their bank. Okay, they're in a reality where they're viewing money as real. They're viewing life being based on prosperity rather than abundance. Okay, so that's the way their minds work. That's the way they're trained. They've been moved into this Western economic model. Commerce has been imposed over their mentality. So that's what we've got at the moment. It's a very difficult program for people to break out of. So let's use it. Let's help them understand that the Amazon is their bank. The Amazon is what makes their country so wonderful. One of the things that makes their country so wonderful, people come there to see the Amazon, to see the jungle, to experience the jungle. If they lose the jungle, they lose the wealth of their country. It's their bank, you know. So we've got to help them view it in that way. You know, that's just one suggestion anyway. You know, because, I mean, like I said, they're locked into that monetary mentality. So let's try to use that to save the forest. But that's just one aspect. I mean, like I said, the Full Circle Project, I'd like it to encompass everything. Any organization, anything you've got in your community that is designed to empower your community, I'd like it to become part of the Full Circle Project, come under the umbrella of the Full Circle Project, and just so that we can get funding for all these things and really, really start to make a difference around the world in a manner which there are no leaders. That's what I want to do. That's the vision anyway. I mean, it's a big ask, but that's the vision.
Max, in November, David Icke is set to launch the People's Voice, which is sure to be just an alternative media juggernaut. Are you at liberty to speak about your role in that?
Well, David just approached me and asked me if I wanted to do a show on the People's Voice. I've had a lot of flack from people going, what are you doing going on David Icke's show for? I mean, it's not a show. It's a channel. It's a global TV channel. So basically what I'm doing is I'm going to be doing the same as what I have been doing with Surviving the Matrix, but I'm going to be constructing the shows more visually oriented. So I have a little intro, yeah, and the way you do with a television show, you know, make it look more like a television show. I won't just be able to use random images off the internet and random bits of this and that. I'll have to use imagery and video footage that I'm actually allowed to use. So we've been filming a lot of footage ourselves. And so I'll just be constructing the shows more for the visual aspect, or putting a lot more attention into the visual aspect anyway. I mean, with the shows that I've done on Surviving the Matrix, I tend to just use the same imagery over and over again because the imagery is largely incidental. But now I'll be constructing them so the imagery is more suited to the dialogue. And so that's really the only difference. They'll just be aired on David Icke's channel, and then I'll also get an MP3 podcast of the show, and I'll send that over to American Voice so Frank can still run it on the American Voice radio. And I'll still post the MP3s to the Crow House. I'll still post it on YouTube. So it'll all be exactly the same as what it is, only the shows will be 48 minutes instead of 54, and they will be running on both networks. That's really the only difference for me. I'm not really involved in the People's Voice at all. It's just David offered me a show. I was happy to accept. I was honored that he would offer me a show. And I think it's a great thing what he's doing. I mean, any way we can to deprogram people is a good thing. And people watch their television. They're programmed into watching TV. So let's give them a channel that's going to give them the truth. And, you know, I think that, you know, I really believe in the message that I've been putting out on Surviving the Matrix and the message that I've been giving to you on the show today. I really think this is the solution to the problems that we face. And I'm happy to go onto any network that will help me get that message across. I really am. You know, I'm not really interested in the stuff that people have with other people. You know, he's this and he's that. And, you know, a lot of the alternative research community seems to want to, you know, they want to eat each other alive. They're all pointing the finger at each other and arguing with each other. And it's all about divide and conquer. It's all a program. Everybody's got a piece of the puzzle. And I'm happy to support anybody who's speaking out. And I'm happy to air this message on any network that wants me to air the message and will let me air the message. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing what he's doing. And I hope that it does really, really make a difference. I hope it gets huge. It would be great if it does.
Now, I'm seeing some incredible innovations in advanced technology and free energy technology. One of our presenters was Dr. Shipov at our recent expo. Was Dr. Shipov from Russia, and he has reproduced a lot of the devices and technology that Nikola Tesla had worked on originally. And we're seeing similar technological innovations coming from many other sources all over the place. Have you seen anything that, with regard to free energy technology or anything, you know, any advancements that have the possibility of really changing the world that we live in? And are you aware of any of them that are really viable, workable technologies?
Well, the technology that I mentioned in my last film, Transformation, that Justin Hall Tipping was looking at of harvesting light from electrons, I think is quite promising. And anybody who can duplicate the work of Nikola Tesla, I mean, if that can be done, then there's the solution right there. I mean, most of the problems that we face are due to meeting our energy needs. This is what, you know, causes all of the, most of the wars and, you know, all the harvesting of resources and all the stuff that we do. I mean, capitalism and meeting our energy needs, this is what's caused Fukushima, the whole lot. So it's a very, very important issue. And it's also one of the mechanisms that is used to keep people under control, you know, so you can't have them having free energy. They become free if they get free energy. We can't have that, can we? So that's why it's been so suppressed. The man you just mentioned, the German man you just mentioned, I've looked at his work and I find it quite promising. And like I said, the Justin Hall Tipping work is good. There's been people that are doing work on you know, hydrogen cars and all sorts of stuff for a long time. But I think, like you said, I think the work of Tesla is the key, because that's about energy. It's about the energetic stuff of the universe. There's another man, Victor Schauberger. I don't know whether you're familiar with his work. He was a water wizard from Austria. He died back in the 40s or 50s, and his work was actually quite remarkable as well. And I think that is the direction we need to be going. Nikola Tesla always said, if you want to understand reality, you need to think of it in terms of energy and frequency. And I think that's what it's all about. I mean, when you can understand that everything is energy, all of reality is created from energy, that the stuff of the universe itself is pure energy, the matter, you know, the space between matter, the energetic stuff of the universe itself, this is highly energized. Everything is, it's an electrical universe. Now, all we have to do is find the frequencies to be able to harvest that electricity. It's endless. It's abundant. It's creation itself. And that's what Tesla tapped into. He knew how to do that. And that is the ultimate answer. That's what we should be doing. Those are the directions we should be pursuing. I think we did have this technology once. And it's been taken from us, but I think we'll find it. We'll get it back. And once we get it, once someone rediscovers how to do this, and we've got the internet now, once it's posted, that's it. It's done. The deal's done and the control grid falls. So I think it's very important. There's a lot of people that are going down pathways that I'm a little bit suspect on. There's work being done to, harvest the Taurus energy that we all generate ourselves. You know, you have a torus field that comes out. You know, you have an energetic field that's generated by your heart. We're actually very, very powerful electric batteries, you know, cue the Matrix almost, you know. We generate quite a large torus field. And there's talk of creating energy devices such as a mobile phone that's powered when you speak into it, a wristwatch which is powered by the torus field of your body. These sorts of things. But then you get into a situation where we are becoming the batteries for the energy devices around us. And then we start becoming the batteries for microchips and implants and add-ons, and enter transhumanism with us being the power source to power the android that we've become. So I'd be very, very careful of those sorts of free energy devices that many people are exploring the possibility of, because I think that ultimately just leads down a transhumanist pathway. I think energy is all around us. We don't need to harvest it from our bodies because it exists in the field all around us.
You mentioned in one of your other shows that there was an embassy that was created in Alberta, Canada, and they were having some problems. Have there been any new developments with that, or what's going on with that?
Look, I haven't heard any more from them. They sent me a letter to let me know what was going on, and I mentioned it on the radio, but I haven't heard back from them since then. They were basically, this is basically a sovereignty thing, exposing the fiction. And that's what I see the purpose of all of these things as being. They expose the fiction. They, you know, put another crack in the damn wall. You know, they cracked the facade a little bit more. I'm not sure what's happened. I'll actually have to contact them. I'm glad you reminded me of it. I will contact the person who contacted me about that and see what the results have been. Because all of these things, I mean, we do have a corporate slavery system over all of our planets. We really do. All of our countries, I mean, we have this corporate slavery system there, and all of these things are working to expose it. The whole thing they want to do and set up as custodians of the land and expose the government control, I think is a great thing. And I think it's a good sign that we haven't heard any news actually out of Alberta, because perhaps airing that show stopped any action that was going to happen. I don't know, but I haven't heard any news come out of there. So I'll find out for you. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, actually earlier we were talking about the how one of the technologies that you've been hearing about is using our own human bodies to power devices. I've been reading or hearing a lot about wireless transmission of power, and in fact there's an inventor that we're working with. We're planning on doing some kind of live demonstration transmitting, similar to what Tesla did, transmitting power wirelessly using scalar energy. And so it seems to me that there are lots of other ways to do this without having to use our own bodies as the fuel source for this energy. Are you familiar with scalar transmission at all?
A little bit. I wouldn't call myself an authority on it at all, though, but I am vaguely familiar with it.
Yeah, there's an inventor out in Florida, and he, I don't know if he actually successfully did this, but he was going to transmit energy, I think about 100 miles, and light up a building. And we've been in talks with him to try to do a demonstration transmitting the energy from Florida to Michigan and light up a room full of lights here as well. And so it's viable. He can do it short distances, no problem. He just has never done it across country yet. But it's nice to hear these kinds of breakthroughs and people working independently in different areas doing this kind of work. Anyway, you talk about how you've had a lot of emotional trauma in recent times and how it's actually made you stronger. And speaking for myself, I can relate to those kinds of experiences having led me down to the road to where I am now and the work that I'm doing. Can you share your personal journey to whatever extent you're willing, and any wisdom you gain from this that other people can use to empower themselves while they're going through these turbulent times in the world or in their personal lives?
Well, as I said, all of these things are opportunities. They're all opportunities for growth. And I think that we're presented with these situations in our life in order to grow. I think we leave these little milestones, these little signposts for ourselves, you know. But it's up to us to see them, and it's up to people to understand that when these things happen, it's about what you do with the information. It's about the information you just experienced, why it made you feel that way, but now it's what you do with that. Why did that happen? Why did you need that information? What's the benefit in that? No matter how bad it was, it happened. Why? What did you gain? There was something there for you. You know, and if you're stuck feeling bad about it, well, it's over now. It isn't happening now. So now it doesn't exist. So why do you still feel that way? You know, why are you, you know, we're always usually stuck in the past or in apprehension of the future. We don't exist now. These are all designed, little things designed to take you out of the now. And often we don't express our emotion through these situations as well. What I found with myself, though, was a gradual disconnection that I was having. And so that I was becoming more and more susceptible to attacks that were becoming increasingly petty and shouldn't be affecting me, you know, but I was becoming more and more susceptible to these things. I think a lot of it was the area that I was living in. There was a whole bunch of new mobile phone towers put up in the area that I was living, and there was lots of chemical spraying in the sky. So I found a lot of people were falling off the wagon in the area, a lot of emotional trauma happening, a lot of relationships breaking down, all sorts of things. And then spirit sort of pulled me away from that area. And now I'm living in a very, very sheltered spot, which is away from every flight path, and I don't even get mobile reception here. And this just came to me out of the blue. Someone that I never met offered me a place to live. I came and looked at it, and it's this paradisical little place in this sheltered little pocket. And I've just been placed here. And over a period of being here for 2 or 3 months, I found myself getting very, very connected again. So, you know, I think all of these things are opportunities. It's what people do with the information. The traumas that I've experienced, I've had just certain friends expose themselves as not being what they pretended to be, and a lot of stuff like that going on in my life. I've had, you know, my father's recently been through a fall and broken some ribs and things, and he's 89, and a few things like this. And I'm not particularly, my father and I aren't very close, but still, this is emotional stuff. It's an interesting thing to deal with, actually. But there's been a lot of things going in my life in the last 12 months that have been very testing. And it's happened in such a manner that it's made me quite strong now. So I think there's opportunity in all of these things. And, you know, the electromagnetic soup that we're swimming in, I think, really affects people a lot more than they believe does as well. And I think that was a big part of it. I think that's what made me more susceptible. And that's why I'm seeing such a breakdown with relationships with people in the area that I just left. There's so many things going on in that area. So many people are under psychic attack, and there's just very, very weird things going on. I think a lot of it is electromagnetic. And that's interesting as well, what you were talking about before about transmitting free energy. The concept of transmitting free energy is very interesting. One of the things that Tesla did, I believe, was to find out what the frequency of the energy field was, so that all he had to do was actually make a little Tesla coil type device and put it into an object so it became a receiver of energy. So he could get a light bulb and he could just put it into the earth. He could just stick it in the ground and it would be tuned to the frequency of energy running through the ground, and it would just light up from the ground. So he didn't have to transmit it wirelessly. I think he did do some wireless transmission of energy, but I think he was working on situations whereby he could just harvest energy from the field around him. I would suggest this is how UFOs probably work as well. Now, I've seen some strange things in the sky, so I know UFOs are real. Whether they're piloted by aliens or not, I don't know. I haven't ever been on board one to be able to tell you that one. But I know I've seen these things, and I would suggest the way they move is they harvest energy from the field around them as well. And I think that's what he was working on. The danger of transmitting energy from one power source to another is the frequency that you're using to transmit it. When you can understand that the Schumann cavity resonance of the Earth is around 7.8 cycles, and this is what your brain resonance is as well. All life on the planet exists at very, very low bandwidths, you know, around the 7.8 to 8 cycles, pretty well everything on the planet. And we're creating devices that run in the megahertz and gigahertz of cycles. And these things are creating a huge amount of electromagnetic smog around us, which is having a huge effect on all organisms on this planet, I think. And so with people transmitting free energy, if you can understand how the energy works, and the energy field around us is charged everywhere, all around us, the whole of this reality is literally made of energy, then why do you need to transmit it anywhere? Why can't you create a device which simply harvests it from where you are, harvests it from the surrounding field? That's what I think people should be looking at personally.
Hey, Max, I want to jump in real quick and back you up on getting outside. We recently had Carrie Cassidy at the expo, and we had the opportunity to interview her, and from Project Camelot. One of the biggest things she said as a solution is get more contact with the Earth. Tesla knew this. It's right along the lines of what you're talking about. The Earth is a battery, basically. And when you get more in touch with that and disconnect from the electronic soup, that it recharges you. And it actually is the information coming out of the Earth is speaking directly to your DNA, which happens to be more open now than any recent time in human history. And that's exactly what you are feeling when you said you're reconnecting. I see a lot of people doing that involuntarily, just going for walks or going outside more and saying I feel much better. I'm getting out of this environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you do go outside and you go for walks, do it barefoot.
Yes.
Please do it barefoot. Take your shoes off, folks. They got rubber soles. The soles used to be leather on your shoes. They replaced them with rubber. Why do you think they did that? You know, because the frequency's rising. They want to disconnect you. It's why they concrete everything. It's why they pave everything. They put nature over there and put a fence around it. It's pretty to look at, but don't go and touch it. You know, you got to reconnect with the Earth. She wants you to reconnect with you. She wants you to feel her. you know, and we need to do this. Everybody needs to do this. Get out there and go for a walk at least once a day.
It's a download. There's information being downloaded into you that people don't understand but will understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also a note on Tesla as well. There's a gentleman, his name is Jerry Vassilatos, and he is the world's foremost authority on Tesla. He was given access to the archives of books at the New York State Library. And this was before they trashed all these books, or they claimed they were trashed, but he read all the old Tesla papers, and he was the only person to have access to all these papers. And he claims that the Tesla's big experiment at Wardenclyffe was the public was told it was to get free energy for everybody, and that was part of it. But the other part of it, Tesla wrote in his papers that a lot of people don't know about, was that Tesla realized that he could transmit using this earth energy and increase the consciousness of the people in the area that get this free energy as well. So it wasn't only affecting their energy sources, it was affecting their minds and raising their consciousness in a positive way. And that was one of the big reasons they claimed that they shut him down, was because they knew he was going to try to do that. But it speaks to the earth energy again.
Well, yeah, as well. And it's again paying attention to what frequency you're transmitting on, you know. So
yes.
If you're transmitting free energy on a harmonious frequency, a frequency that's good for the species and good for the earth, and it operates in harmony with the earth, is in that low bandwidth, like super low, EMF rather than, high frequency, it could be quite beneficial. It's just knowing what frequency you're working with. And that's what Tesla was all about. He was all about frequency. That little device that he made that he put on the pillar that created that earthquake in that town, but he couldn't tell that it was happening in the room that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. That was all about frequency again, you know.
If our listeners want to get involved with the Full Circle Project and also listen to your radio shows or any other projects, where would they go?
Go to thecrowhouse.com. That's my website. Everything that I do gets posted on thecrowhouse.com. I will have a website up for the Full Circle Project when I launch the project, but that won't be until I've made the new film. And if I can really, really rush that through, hopefully I'll get that done by about February. But it's hard because I've got this whole David Icke TV thing to do as well. And the format for the David Icke TV show, like I said, it'll probably remain the same as what it is for Surviving the Matrix until at least the end of the year, and then I might be able to branch out a little bit. It's just getting the time to put it all together. But the Full Circle Project and all of the things that I'm doing will and always are accessible via thecrowhouse.com. That's where you'll find out everything about me and everything that I do. It's all there.
So you interview a lot of very interesting people, and a lot of people I know listen to your show, and I'm curious, what is the most interesting or compelling piece of information that you've come across that's going on in the world right now?
Oh, look, that's a hard question to answer, really. That's a very difficult question to answer. I mean, we're having a global police state being built around us. I think that's pretty compelling, and people are waking up to their own power, and I think that's pretty compelling as well. I mean, it's hard to put it all into a nutshell. I think that a lot of people are realizing that all of the smaller issues that we're fighting and we're addressing are all simply symptoms of the larger problem, which is the corruption of this system itself, and that only exists because we allow it to, because we've lost our own power. And that, to me, people waking up to their own power, people realizing that this control system exists, that's what I find to be the most compelling out of everything. I think a lot of it is fear porn, what we're seeing in the world. You know, a lot of the shutdown and the threat of World War III and all of this sort of stuff, I think it's all fear porn. I do think Fukushima is very significant. We need to pay attention to that. But again, there's a certain amount of fear porn involved in that as well. I think that we could heal Fukushima through spiritual means, I really do, but I think that's also a test for us. In fact, I think that's probably the only thing that will heal Fukushima is us changing our spiritual attitude and imagining a new reality, you know. So it's a huge test this time for mankind. Very hard to put my finger on anything that's more significant than anything else, though. It's all compounding to present us with the greatest opportunity for freedom we've ever had, like I said earlier.
So do you think the world as a whole is waking up enough that we're beyond the point of no return, or do you think we still haven't crossed that point?
I don't think we've crossed the point of no return yet. We're getting close, though. We are getting close. People do need to start participating. But, you know, the point of no return will only be the point of no return for mankind. It won't be the point of no return for the Earth. The Earth will go on. The Earth will continue. The Earth doesn't need us. That's one of the biggest ego trips we ever got onto, the fact that the Earth needs us. We look after the Earth. I mean, we're custodians of it while we're here. We have the opportunity to be custodians of it because we have the intelligence to do so. But it doesn't need us. If we're not good custodians, it'll shake us off like a bad case of lice, you know. It doesn't need us to function at all. The Earth isn't going anywhere. We are, if we don't pay attention.
Do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Oh, wake up, please, folks. We need you. We need you. The Earth needs you. You need you. You know, I think it's a time of great remembering, and you're giving the opportunity to remember. That's what this is. Even the information that I bring to people, I mean, I just state the obvious on my radio shows, and people say it resonates with them. It's almost like it's them speaking through me, because I'm simply pointing out the obvious, and I'm helping them remember that which they already know. You know, all information exists in the field. We've done all this before, I think. We do it many times, and we're given the opportunity to get it right as many times as we want. You know, I think this is a beautiful world, and it's a product of our imagination. We just have to imagine something better, and that's what we can do. I think the sky's the limit. We're an incredibly creative species, and we don't have to do this. We don't have to allow the world to be destroyed. We don't have to do what these corporations say and allow all these mining magnates to do what they do simply because somebody wrote something down on a piece of paper. We don't have to do any of that. If we have the moral high ground and we respect each other and we have united, respectful communities, we can change the world. We can change it in a day. And I think we will. I don't think that they can do anything that is ever going to lock down human consciousness. We're just way too creative for that. And we keep moving the goalposts. You know, I, for one, will never back down. I have no fear of this system at all. I have no fear of anything these people can do to me because I know who and what I am. I know that I'm only here for a little while inhabiting this vehicle for this experience, but my consciousness is infinite. It always has existed and it always will. And it may come back to this reality. It may go to another one. It may do something completely different next time. But while I'm here, I choose to participate. I choose to leave a legacy behind. I choose to make a difference because I existed. And I think we all have the opportunity to do that if we choose to pay attention. So that's what I think this time is. And I think people need to get involved. And I think the reason it's getting so negative, the reason all this is happening is because reality is providing people with the opportunity to get involved, the opportunity to rediscover yourself and to remember who and what you are. That's what this is. And I think people are doing it. And I think we will get through this. I'm very positive about the whole thing.
We're honored to be standing next to you this time around, Max. Thanks for doing what you do.
Oh, look, the honor is mine. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for listening. Thank you for doing what you do. You know, that's something else that I really would like people to understand about the radio shows and the broadcasts and everything that I do is that one of the main points of it is that I'm not anything special. I'm just like you in Lakesh. I'm nobody. I'm just you. I'm just another human being, the same as everybody else. And you don't have to be special in inverted commas to speak out or to make a difference. You just got to be willing to participate. So, yeah, the honor is mine. Thank you for having me on to be able to share all this with you.
Thank you again, Max. And we'll be keeping an eye out for the Full Circle project and the film you're working on. And you know, let us know if there's anything we can do to help you in your work. And for those of you who are listening, you can find out more about Max and his work at thecrowhouse.com.